And now we take a closer look at an issue that does not receive much attention, and that is the refugees and migrants from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala who are passing through the territory of the nation of Mexico, many of them bound for the United States. But rarely is there treatment and what happens to them on that long journey addressed. And now joining us to help us understand more about this is Alejandro Reyes. Alejandro has been part of what's called the Caravana Paso a Paso por la Paz. Alejandro, welcome to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.
Hi, Gavin. Thank you.
So explain to us about the conditions of those migrants from places like Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala who must pass through Mexico's territory or land in Mexico.
Yeah, Kevin, we spent two days on top of the train that the migrants commonly called the Beast. And this is a cargo train that goes from the border of Guatemala going up north towards the United States. Hundreds of migrants climb on it every single day. We were there for a couple days to try to, as part of the caravan, to try to give visibility to their flight, to their plight, and also to bring close to home what it means to travel in those conditions. We're talking about extreme weather conditions. We're climbing on top of these huge cargo cars with violent sun, with people with the risk of dehydration, with very little food and water, with rain at night, with cold. There are mostly men, but there's also women and children. And yet, that's not the worst part. The worst part is the terrible crime that they're suffering. The organized crime has sort of discovered migrants as a gold mine, and they are kidnapping them in order to get money from their families. You know, they beat them, they torture them until they release the phone numbers.
So Alejandro, these people en masse are leaving their countries because of horrible economic conditions there, because of the economy, well, for many reasons that we can get into, deeply related to U.S. foreign policy in most instances in America Latina and Latin America and the Caribbean. And they're making this hazardous journey, thousands of miles in some cases, to try to get a better life, the hope and chance of a better life, which we're told, of course, is part of the American dream, is sold as that. And then through Mexico, when they're on their way, they actually get preyed upon, and they get kidnapped, and in some cases, they get murdered.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have disappeared, and, you know, this is extremely despairing for the families, because the family don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened. They leave their children behind, their wives behind, in order to, you know, out of despair, to, like you say, make a little bit of money, survive, and then they are kidnapped, tortured, killed. They disappear. Sometimes they fall off the train. They're maimed. And many people simply disappear off the map. Nobody knows where they are. The Mexican authorities do absolutely nothing to investigate these cases. And they disappear. And for the families, this is really terrifying because they never find out. Years can go by, and they don't know if they're in the United States, if they managed to get through, if they died. And this is happening to so many people. There's hundreds and hundreds of people traveling every single day going up north. We discovered that most of them are right now from Honduras because after the coup d'etat...
Mm-hmm. The U.S. supported coup in many... Exactly.
Situation has gone absolutely crazy in Honduras. There are no jobs. The economy is in shambles. But most importantly, the crime has gone up because there is this system of impunity where authorities are colluded with the organized crime groups. And this has created a scene where crime is just rampant. And I met kids, teenagers who fled with nothing but their clothes on, walked for 9 days just to get to the border to climb on that train because they were threatened to death by the local crime groups in the neighborhood.
Well, and then of course they have to, now the Hondureños, of course, that's a long journey from Honduras to Mexico even. And then of course then they come into Mexico and there's also corruption and there's links between local law enforcement and so-called cartels and drug dealers. And we know that there's actually been an instance where 72 migrants who were in transit were part of what was called were victims of what was called the San Fernando Massacre in August of 2010. And there were 800 others so far that have been found in mass graves in the states of Durango, Nuevo León, Chihuahua, Veracruz, and Tamaulipas.
Yeah, like we were saying, they are the new gold mine for organized crime. And so they are kidnapping, but they're also taking them as forced members of the organized crime. They kidnap them, and either you join them, the Zetas or whatever criminal group it is, or they kill them. And this is happening all over the place. The problem is that this happens with the complicity of Mexican authorities. We heard stories of the train stopping. Every time the train stopped in the middle of somewhere, people got really scared and ready to jump off the train and go running. Because what happens is that the train will stop, the police will surround them, and when people jump, you know, trying to run away from immigration authorities, the criminal groups are waiting for them. You know, so they're working together. There's a total system of impunity, and this has created a terrible situation for migrants who are already despair. They're already making this trip out of despair and fall prey to all sorts of atrocities, you know. Women are regularly raped, you know, and you meet some of these young women trying to go, you know, to find some sort of hope. I mean, nobody does it out of pleasure. And running a very, very high risk of being raped and murdered.
Yeah, well, and it's part, we gotta say, you know, regardless of what anybody thinks, trying to pull hope out of despair is who we are as human beings, right?
That's correct, you know, and I think this is one of the things that, as we were sitting in the train, I was thinking, you know, we tend to either many people tend to criminalize and blame migrants for their own plight. Others tend to think of them as victims of the system. And I was thinking, you know, these are absolutely heroic people. The type of things that they go through and the resiliency they have creates very, very special human beings with a very privileged outlook in the sense of being able to survive through the most atrocious situations.
Now, let's talk about how these crimes against these people can be linked to broader patterns of state structural and systematic violence in Mexico. We're talking about NAFTA, the Merida Initiative, and the militarization that's part of the so-called drug war, you know, which is really in many ways mirroring what they call Plan Colombia, right, in Colombia.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, there's as you know, there's now a rising national movement against this militarization, because what we see is that this military approach of the war against drugs and against crime is absolutely senseless. What it's cost, we have 50,000 people dead in Mexico, uncountable number of people disappeared. They say that there's about 200 people affected by each death from organized crime. So you have maybe 500,000 of people affected from an absolutely mad war that has gone absolutely nowhere.
And that includes the desaparecidos.
That's right. From 10 cartels that we had in Mexico, now we have 12. Every single one of them has grown and extended their territory. And crime has gone absolutely rampant. So this is not really a war against drugs. This is an absolute madness where 90% of all the police forces in Mexico participate in the drug trade, where 70% of all municipalities are in the hands of the mafias. And so evidently, you know, militarizing the country doesn't do anything about it. What it does is it creates tremendous amounts of human rights violations by the military itself, and it doesn't stop the drug trade.
Well, let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and we're speaking with Alejandro Reyes about what is called the Caravana Paso a Paso por la Paz, which is supporting migrants from Central America, from Latin America, who are passing through Mexico and are suffering extremely for many reasons. Of course, the journey itself is one of great hardship, as you described, Alejandro. And then, of course, there are the official policies of the United States government in the region, which are brutal toward these people, and then the corruption, and they're being preyed upon, not only by local law enforcement, but the local law enforcement many times in collusion with cartels and with bands of individuals with ill intentions. What do we call these people? I don't want to call them bandits, ladrones. What am I going to call these people?
The organized crime?
Yeah. Organized crime. There you go.
It's organized crime. I mean, most of them in the region where we went through, which is Tabasco and Veracruz, the most active group is the Zetas. The Zetas is infamous. The mafia. And that mafia was formed as a sort of an elite troop of the Gulf Cartel and eventually split off. Well, this is made of elite military personnel who fled the military and formed this group. So they're extremely well-trained. They're one of the most brutal groups. And this is where you see, you know, the failure of this kind of policies. About half of the troops of the military leave the military and join, and most of them join the drug cartels and the organized crime.
So the organized crime are the elite, former military, or the elite and cream of the crop. That's an amazing story, Alejandro. Listen, how can people find out more about Caravana Paso a Paso por la Paz, and how can they help?
Okay, well, one of the sources we've been trying to cover is at Radio Zapatista, is radiozapatista.org. You can also look it up in the internet. There's a number of people covering it. And how can people help? You know, in Mexico already, people are doing all sorts of things. Civil society has been going out, giving food and water to the migrants, supporting them. The kind of solidarity that people show is amazing. In the United States, this kind of solidarity needs to happen as well, and it does happen to a lesser extent. Solidarity with the migrants that come in, that also have a terrible time in the U.S. with the criminalization of migration, but also really trying to be aware of how the mechanisms of U.S. policies affect directly the economic and political situations in our countries, which make people push people to that kind of despair, to put themselves to this kind of
risk,
dangers, in order to be able to make a living and get some sort of money to their families. And so I think the U.S. public needs to be really aware of the structural causes of immigration and attack them. You know, there's so much anti-immigrant sentiment in the U.S., and I think rather than being against the migrants, one should be against immigration in the sense that people should have the right to remain in their own country with dignity. And the reason they don't, one of the reasons that they don't, are precisely American economic and political policies.
Well, I want to thank you again. That is the voice of Alejandro Reyes coming to us, speaking to us directly from Mexico City, Ciudad Mexico de Mexico. And we're talking about the Caravana Paso a Paso por la Paz, which is a caravan of justice, basically, which is supporting the rights of migrants, which is calling attention to their plight as they are forced because of U.S. foreign policy in most cases, which do support local elites and leave the rest of us, the crumbs of charity and NGOs, non-governmental organizations, which can't possibly take care of peoples, and so people are forced to have to look for a better life elsewhere. Right, Alejandro?
That's correct.
Well, thank you so much, man. I'm going to have to leave it there, but Alejandro Reyes, thank you for joining us today on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, brother.
Thank you, Kevin.
Bye-bye.